Genesis chapter 18, and continuing in our study of people of prayer, history of prayer in the Bible, we will continuing to look at Abraham, and we've seen throughout of how he has developed a relationship with the Lord. We see the basis of it. Basis is on faith, basis is on humility as he comes before the Lord, and also on obedience. That what the Lord, as the Lord reveals himself unto him, directs him, that he obeys immediately. And so now we see something quite different, something few men I think have ever experienced. And we see in Genesis 18, verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent during the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And so we see that he sees these people. I don't know if he understood immediately that it was the Lord, but I think it became clear quite quickly that it was, but we see that he was hospitable to them, that was in many ways it was part of the Bedouin culture, and he certainly served as a good host to anyone that was coming by, that he ran to meet them, and he invited them to come. And we see in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And he spends his time with them, that he shows kindness to them. And we see the testimony in Matthew chapter 25, which is interesting as well, where the Lord speaks in, this is Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And we see with the rest of the passage how it speaks of those who did not do it unto the least of these as brethren. And so we can think of it in this way, that Abraham, if this was a test that the Lord put before him, that he passed the test, that he was hospitable unto them, showed kindness. And we see that the Lord speaks to Abraham and Sarah, that he has already spoken to Abraham that he would have a son through Sarah, his name would be Isaac. And now he speaks to Abraham, but Sarah is within earshot, and she thought, well, how is that possible? And she laughed within herself, not even audibly, but yet we see, and the Lord said unto Abraham, this man that was there, who was God come in the flesh, he said, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And that's something that, as he shares this with them, that he gives them a glimpse and an assurance of the limitless power of God. And that is something that we understand, that when we pray, that the Lord has said in different places, with those, it says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." That sometimes we have a tendency to limit God. We think, well, he can only do so much, but he can do great things. It says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." that we read in other place that it is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that He is able to do so many things, and we do not want to limit God. We want to realize that anything is possible with Him. And we see that the Lord, that he makes this announcement, but then they rose up because that essentially this has been a stopping point on their way to another purpose, and that is to go down to Sodom. That the Lord is going down there. He has heard of the wickedness of the city. He's going to see it firsthand, and He is going to bring judgment upon them. And we see that He did not hide this purpose from Abraham at all. He says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And we see his testimony of Abraham, this one who God would refer to as his friend, that he is going to share this with him. And that's, we understand that if you're very close friends with someone, that they will share things that they may not share with anyone else. And because Abraham had this relationship with him, that the Lord was revealing this unto him. And of course, for Abraham to have the idea that he would repent, or like that he would be proud in that knowledge, that he would think that he was more important, that wasn't the situation. It was something we recognize that he was humble before the Lord, and that he realized that it was because of God's mercy that the Lord was blessing him. But we see also as well, God knew Abraham, and he knew what Abraham would do. He says, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And he understood that. He could see, of course, with the benefit of eternity, he knows what Abraham would do. He knows that he would order his house, that just the same as with Joshua, he says, "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." That Abraham would do that. He would ensure that his household would keep the way of the Lord. And in doing that, the Lord would bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And that's the thought, that the Lord wanted to bless him, make him a blessing, and it was because Abraham was following him that he was obeying God, that he was in a place of blessing. And we see in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." That Abraham loved the Lord, he kept his commandments, he followed with him, he had a close relationship with him, and because of that, the blessings of God would come upon him, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And that's a thought, that if we want God's blessings upon us, then we need to keep his commandments. We need to follow him, be enabled by him to do it, follow his leading, do what he would ask us to do. So then we see in the remainder of the passage that Abraham takes on the role of an intercessor. That we understand that it's only possible to take on that role as one has developed a relationship with God. That essentially, if, like you could imagine, someone that's could go up to the Prime Minister, or write a letter or something, or say, "Well, I really want you to do this for me." But if there's no relationship, if they don't know who that person is, the Prime Minister is going to be reluctant. He might try to make his resources available, but he's not going to be certain. But if it's someone that he knows, someone that he is familiar with, someone he knows that he can trust, then that person is going to have more of an impact, more of a possibility because of that relationship with him. And we think of that with Abraham, that, and even though that he had no right to demand anything of God, and we see it in his attitude towards the Lord, where he says, as we see in verse 27, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." That he didn't look at himself as proudful or full of pride. He didn't at all try to demand this of God. He had the right attitude in his relationship, that this is the God of heaven and earth. I am his humble servant. I am his friend, but I have no right to demand of him. I make my request, and based upon his mercy, based upon his gracious, based upon the friendship that we have, that I trust that the prayer will be answered. And we see that his decision to seek to intercede on behalf of the city of Sodom, this wicked city, it's from mercy and compassion that he is concerned for Lot, his nephew that is there. He is concerned for Lot's family, and he wants to make sure that if there is righteous people there, that he trusts that Lot has had an effect, and he doesn't want the righteous slain with the wicked. That he's thinking specifically of Lot, but he is thinking others there as well. And so he prays, that he asks the Lord to spare the city for the sake of the righteous. That he is asking God to be merciful. And we see how it works, that he begins with 50. Then he says, well, say if there was 45. And the Lord said, well, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he brings it down to 40 and then to 30. In verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord was merciful in that respect. And he said, yes, I can be merciful in that way, that I'll spare the city if there is only 10 people that are righteous. And we see that he had an attitude of deepest humility. It was a request, not a demand. And as we understand it, God honored both the word and the spirit of his prayer, because his heart was that if there was righteous people within the city, that they would be spared. There was not 10 righteous found within the city, so it had to be destroyed. But yet we see that God was merciful, that those that were righteous were delivered. We see this in Genesis 19, verse 16, speaking of Lot and his daughters and his wife. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And so we see that God honored the word and the spirit of the prayer. And that, I think that is a blessing to know that we don't really know how to pray for or what to pray for. But God is merciful. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us. And I think Abraham would be thankful for the answer that he received. Once he was able to take it all in, that the Lord, the judge of all the earth, did right, that the righteous were not slain with the wicked. And so we see that and you think of it, that just the need of that we see through scriptures, that idea of an intercessor. It's spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 22. Where it speaks of all the wickedness in the land. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And we want to understand that Abraham was used in that way to intercede for the land, for the city. And his prayer was not necessarily answered quite exactly the way he had hoped, although the Lord held him exactly to the number. But yet the Lord answered his prayer, and we see that the Lord did right in that. And so God ensured that the righteous were not slain with the wicked, though we look at how righteous they were kind of remain to be seen. We see that if Peter didn't refer to Lot as just Lot, I think that we would have a hard time accepting it to be the case. Yeah, he's vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Yeah, and that's the sad thing that we can look at it that way if we recognize that the just shall live by faith, that we say, okay, well, he knew the Lord, he had a relationship with him, but yet because he pitched his tent towards Sodom, that it had terrible consequences upon his family. And we see the devastation that was wrought, that one has said that he got his daughters out of Sodom, but he didn't get Sodom out of his daughters. And at the end of his life, how bad it got when he was with Abraham, he had riches and he was doing well, and now there's nothing. And so we see that Abraham has begun this work of intercession, and we see in Genesis chapter 20 there is again a bit of a lapse of faith. It's sad in some ways, because you'd think that Abraham would have learned from the last time. But as with us, we are slow learners sometimes. And he dwelt in near sojourned in Gerar, and he said of his sister's wife, of Sarah's wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And it's amazing to think, because Sarah, of course, is over 90 years old, and she must have been a very beautiful woman to have been desired even at that age. But it is a blessing in some ways how with Abraham, even though he made a mistake, he had a terrible lapse in judgment, that God stepped in, God was merciful to him. God had actually comes to Abimelech to reprove him, and had actually closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech in judgment because he had Sarah's wife. But it's interesting that we see in verse 7, Genesis chapter 20, it says, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. And what the Lord says of Abraham, that he is a prophet, we understand that. Someone that is a representative of God to mankind. That is the role, the calling that God has placed upon Abraham, that he is, even though he is a nomad, he is, some might say, well, he's just another person that has sheep and cattle just like anyone else around, but that he was someone different, that God was with him. He was following the Lord's leading, and he was a prophet of the Lord. And it says, he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. That he would have that ability to intercede on Abimelech's behalf, that God would be merciful. We think of how it was with Job, that God said to his three friends, he says, well, you need to go to have Job pray for you, because what you've spoken is not right. And Job prayed for them, and we see actually that God, it was after Job prayed for his friends, that's when God really opened up the blessing to Job once again. And so we see that and that's what happened, that Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. That this is a man that had power in prayer. We understand that the power was God's, that this is what God said would happen. But we see that Abraham is his representative, that by Abraham's prayer to God, making that petition, that Abimelech, in a sense, did not have that relationship with God to be able to ask for God's mercy in the same way that Abraham could on his behalf. And so again, Abraham fulfills that role as an intercessor. And the Lord is merciful to Abimelech and merciful to Abraham as well, that he provided protection and deliverance and all of this, that God's purposes were not thwarted. And I think it is something that we look at, that Abraham made some mistakes, that they had serious consequences, many of their mistakes, but yet God didn't abandon him. God didn't, and God certainly didn't allow Abraham's mistakes to thwart his purposes either, that the Lord could work that out. And you think of it that it's essentially God is committed to Abraham. Abraham is committed to him as well, but God has decided that this is the person that I'm going to bless, and it's not of his merit, it's of grace, and we see that the Lord is with him, and we think of that, of how he deals with us, that we are his children, that he has a plan and a purpose for us, that we can make a mess of things, and we'll have to face the consequences for that, but he's not giving up on us. He's going to see his plans through to the end. And it is something that we can take heart in. It's that relationship that we have. And that was, you think of it, that of all the trouble that Abraham could have gotten in, what delivered him was his relationship with the Lord. If that was not as it should be, he could have gotten a lot more serious trouble, and that is what we want to recognize, that our relationship with God is not something that we take for granted. We want to foster it, not only for our sake, but also so that we're in a position that we can pray on the behalf of others, that the Lord will hear our petitions for others' behalf, that because if we have to spend all our time getting right with God before we even get to praying about someone else, it's certainly not going to be effective. But if we maintain that relationship, we have fellowship with him, then we can pray on behalf of someone else. And the Lord, because we are in a close relationship with him, that he is pleased to answer our petitions. So may the Lord help us that we can continue to follow Abraham's example and learn to have that relationship with the Lord.